Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening. Tonight, as we think about our blessings and praising God for all that He has done, obviously the greatest gift, the greatest blessing we have is our salvation. And I want to have this eighth part of the life of Samson, the grand picture of Christ, on this Thanksgiving evening, because it is the central theme from Genesis to Revelation, the work of salvation done by the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope tonight you are blessed as we review and add to the glorious picture of Jesus Christ in the life of Samson. And I hope you see the richness of the Word of God, the unity of the Word of God, when we see this. Obviously, I could not give you all the verses. Listen, take notes, but I want you to get this glorious picture. In Judges chapter 13, verse 1, the story of Samson begins as Israel sins, and God delivered them into the hand of the Philistines. God did it. We have been through this, and we see that we can learn lessons from Israel, from Samson, as we study this. But we also see that as we look at it, the richness of the Word of God, the picture of Christ. As the Scripture is so deep, you see the true and very, very spiritually stimulating story that we can learn from people's lives, but we also then see another dimension as it pictures Christ. This is the exciting thing about the Word of God. It is so rich, you cannot exhaust it. In Judges 13:5, it tells them that God has sent a son and he's going to begin to deliver Israel. And is this not the picture? As we see, they're in bondage and God sends a deliverer. Is this not what Jesus Christ is? As the world was in bondage to sin, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a virgin, to pay sin's debt. We also see the very real story of Samson, as he was a very real man, sent of God for a purpose of delivering the children of Israel from Philistine bondage. And we saw the very real truth that as a man, he had a lot of faults. That's true of any man that is ever called, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every pastor has faults. Every elder has faults. Every church member has faults. But when we look to God, He works and He blesses. I want to take a look at the three verses tonight which form our brief study tonight, but they are so powerful, and I'm going to whet your appetite with this and then build to it and come back to these at the end. Judges chapter 16, verse 1, "Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went in unto her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson is come hither, and they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, In the morning, when it's day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and he carried them up to the top of a hill that was before Hebron." Here again we see the moral weakness and failure of Samson. Earlier on in the story, Samson wanted a bride of the Philistines. Oh, Samson, why can't you stay within Israel? But no, he lusted after the Philistines. Now, he lusts after this woman in Gaza. Terrible, terrible immoral sin. Samson trifled with his vow, with his calling, with his status as a Nazirite. He put himself into positions of compromise when he was not to be around the vine, and yet he willfully went to a vineyard. Why, Samson, why? Why do we play with sin? Why do you have to have a wife of the Philistines? And now why, Samson, why did you go to Gaza? And why do you have to be with this person? God has ordained the man and the woman in marriage. And it is so important that we honor God's plan. Young and old, let us heed the warning to keep ourselves pure. Consider the simple and yet powerful words that Paul gave Timothy, the pastor, when he was talking just very briefly about human interaction. Look what he said in 1 Timothy 5:1. Timothy, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, and here it is, the younger women as sisters with all purity. This ought to be a distinction of Christianity, purity. Young and old, keep yourselves pure. Obviously, in that sense, he's talking about Timothy's interaction with the women in the church, particularly the younger ones, but all of us. Set the example. In word and deed, keeping ourselves examples of purity that would be God-honoring. Samson has suffered because of his poor choices with the wife of the Philistines. There does come a time when God says enough is enough. Purity is not to be trifled with. God has a plan. Let us live in that plan. But I want to take now and build to this passage with Samson in Gaza, with this glorious picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The best way to understand Samson is a picture of Christ. We have seen many of these. I want to review them so that you can really see the full impact, how it is so wonderfully laid out in the Scriptures that we can learn tremendous things from this. When Christ was risen from the dead, look at the words that he spoke in Luke chapter 24, verse 25. Then he, Jesus, said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, that's Old Testament, he, Jesus, expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. I have reason to believe Samson's in there. 1 Corinthians 15:3, for I delivered unto you, Paul says, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. You'll see that tonight with Samson. In Acts 17:2, Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them in three Sabbath days, reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. That has to be Old Testament because the New Testament didn't exist. He reasoned with them out of the Old Testament Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead. You find it in the Old Testament. Samson truly is a glorious picture of Jesus Christ. Jesus told the Jews, he said in John 5:39, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Search! Tonight we're going to look and search in Samson and see a glorious picture as it tells of Jesus Christ. We saw, let us begin. The first thing is the promise of a son from an angel. We saw in Judges, now write these down. I couldn't give them all to you, or get ready. The first thing is the promise announced by the angel to the mother-to-be, Judges 13:3, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive a barren son. Doesn't that sound like Mary? In Luke 1:28, and the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. So as an angel appears to Samson's mother, an angel appears to Mary. Both Mary and Samson's mother have an impossible birth. Samson's mother in verse 3, and the angel appeared unto the woman and said, behold, thou art barren. Mary was a virgin. Both Samson and Jesus were dedicated to the Lord. Judges 13:5. The angel is still speaking to Samson's mother. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. Obviously, Jesus Christ was God in the flesh and Son of God as part of the Trinity. And in Luke 1:35, and the angel answered and said unto her, Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born of thee. Before Samson was conceived, his mother was told to start to abstain from the grape. From before his conception, he's holy as Jesus Christ. Both, I put this in quotes, fathers. I realize Joseph was not Jesus' father. I understand that. He was his stepdad, stepfather. They were each addressed by an angel, Judges 13:13, and the angel of the Lord sent unto Manoah. So an angel came to Samson's father, and Joseph was also visited by an angel in Matthew 1:20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. The fifth thing we see, the Spirit moved on both Samson and Jesus in Judges 13:25. The Spirit of the Lord began to move on him at times in the camp between Dan and Zorah and Eshtaol. And in Luke 4:14, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. The Lord was working and the Spirit was upon them. We also studied, notice too, there's little known about the life of Samson early on. We have this tremendous teaching in Judges 13 about the announcement and the birth. But what do we have? In Judges chapter 14, verse 1, and Samson went down to Timnah, saw a woman of the daughters of the Philistines. He all of a sudden's grown. Just like Jesus Christ, we don't know much about his youth years. Much is said about the angels and the shepherds and the star and Herod. But what's said about the next thing? Very little is known about Jesus' youth years. Just like Samson, we know little about his youth years. Both Samson and Jesus were able to overcome temptation. Samson willfully went into a vineyard where there are grapes, and he's a Nazarite. He was not supposed to be there. Why, Samson? Why did you put yourself in a place of temptation? And guess what he found there? A lion. A picture of the devil. What do we know about Jesus Christ? He was led of the Spirit, wasn't he, to be tempted of the devil. What do we know about the devil again? Both cases, they were in places of temptation, and in both cases, they got the victory. Glorious picture of Jesus Christ. We see that Samson, when he went down to the wedding seeking a bride of the Philistines, did Jesus Christ not seek a bride of the church, of the world? He came out of the Jewish system, and now we, the church, are the body of Christ. And so as Samson sought a bride of the Philistines, Jesus Christ, there is no more Jew or Gentile, bond or free. We're one in Christ Jesus, the church. When Jesus was on earth, he was like Samson. What did Samson do at his wedding? He gave a riddle. He gave a riddle because he did not want those people to be able to guess what he meant. Did Jesus Christ not speak in parables because it wasn't for all to know? Same thing. We then go on in our study, and we saw how Samson caught 300 foxes. Is that not a miracle? Did Jesus Christ not do miracles? Better yet, he didn't just catch 300 foxes. He somehow tied their tails together, put a torch, and lit it, and he wasn't mauled. That's a miracle. And of course, Jesus Christ did numerous miracles. But then you put that together, what does it mean to tie these foxes together? What did Jesus Christ do? He sent out the disciples two by two to spread the word. And everywhere those foxes went, that fire was spread. And every place that those disciples went, they caused quite a stir, as you read in the book of Acts, to the point for 2 hours in Ephesus they cried, "Great is the goddess Diana!" Because everywhere they went with the good news, it started a fire, if you will. Folks, the word of God is powerful. Tremendously powerful. The foxes, also, do you not think they ran for fear as the fire was right behind them? The disciples were persecuted and they spread, just like those foxes. Neither the foxes nor the disciples had power within themselves, and neither did they preach themselves, but they spread the fire. Folks, there's nothing about us. It's all about the fire, if you will, the light of the world. As the news of Samson spread, the news of Jesus spread. And then what was the next thing that we came upon? Jesus was approached by the men of Judah, rejected, and they came to bind him. Judah, sharing the same root word as Judas. And as the 3,000 men of Judah came to bind Samson, Judas came with a multitude to bind Jesus, to betray him. What did the men of Judah want to do? To deliver you into the hand of the Philistines. What did the priests and Judas want to do? Deliver them into the hand of the Romans. And what did the people of Judah say? They said, "Don't you know the Philistines rule over us?" And the people cried at Jesus, "We have no king but Caesar." Do you see the glorious picture? The richness of the word of God. They bound Samson's hands, and he went willfully, as Jesus Christ did not resist. He could have called a legion of angels, but he didn't. He humbled himself as Samson. He humbled himself and he went. What did Samson do when he got there? His hands were loosed. The bonds fell off and he found a new jawbone. He was taken to a place called Lehi, a place of a jawbone. And where did they take Jesus Christ? To the place of a skull, Golgotha. And Samson took that jawbone and it brought victory. And did not the place of the skull bring victory? An unlikely weapon was the jaw of a donkey. An unlikely method of victory is to go to Golgotha and die. And yet so it was that they both went to a place of a skull. And so now here we are. We have this place of a skull. What was the next thing to happen to Jesus Christ? They took the body down and put it in a tomb. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there a harlot, went in under her, and it was told the Gazite, Samson has come hither, and they compassed him in. He's laying in the darkness of night, and he's compassed in. And they laid all night in the gate of the city, and they were quiet as he laid in that tomb. Oh, but Pastor Holler, how can possibly you say that he's a picture of Christ in such immorality? Because didn't Jesus Christ intimately identify and take your sin and my sin and the sin of the world upon him? He willfully identified with sin. And his sin, it was laid upon him. This is what he did. He willfully, as Samson was in sin, but Jesus Christ wasn't. But Samson willfully took of this great immorality, a sin against his own body. And Jesus Christ took the sin of the world for you and for me. Take a look. Matthew chapter 20, 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many, willfully. And how about Matthew 27, 60? And laid it in his own new tomb. As Samson lay till midnight, Jesus Christ lay in a new tomb, hewn out of a rock, and there was a stone put by the door. What did they do then? Take a look at Judges 16, 2. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither. What did they do? They compassed him in. They laid wait all night. They were quiet. In the morning, we shall kill him. They watched. Look at Matthew 27, 66. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. As they watched where Samson was, he's not getting away. Jesus Christ, we're going to put a seal on that tomb. He's not getting away. But what happened? Judges 16:3, Samson lay till midnight and arose. I hope you have chills. At midnight, it's still dark. Look at Matthew 28:1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, it's still dark. The sun is just starting to come up. Began to dawn towards the first day of the week. They came, Mary Magdalene and Mary. Guess what? Verse 6, he's not here, he's risen. He was risen. Samson arose. They can put a watch on that city for Samson. They can put a watch on the tomb. He arose. He arose. He is not here. And what did he do? Verse 3, Samson arose. He took the doors of the gate of the city, the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, put them upon his shoulders, carried them to the top of a hill which is before Hebron. Those gates which locked the city and brought bondage to the people, forbade them to go out and come in freely. And Samson arose and he took that gate and the framework therein upon himself and he carried it away. Man was now free because of the work of Samson to come and go because of his rising again. His taking the immorality upon himself. Jesus Christ conquered the bars. Wherefore he saith, Ephesians 4:8, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. 1 Corinthians 15:55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a glorious picture Samson provides as we search the scriptures and we see the tremendous work of redemption done by the Son of God. The only way to make sense of the life of Samson is to see him as a glorious picture of Christ. And I hope tonight you have a deeper appreciation for that wonderful, wonderful picture that God has given us. In all of its simplicity, let me now illustrate it this way. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let this hand represent you and me. Let this billfold represent sin. God says, I love you, I hate the sin. Samson, Jesus, sent to deliver as Jesus Christ, willfully identified with sin there in Gaza, took it upon his own body, and he lay in that tomb. But he arose. Death could not hold him. The watch could not hold him. How do you go to heaven when you realize, I get it, I'm a sinner. There's nothing I can do to get rid of my own sin. And I realize that Jesus Christ, pictured gloriously in the life of Samson, he took my sin. He was the Son of God, the Lamb of God. He is the only one that could take my sin and pay my sin. He paid it in full. Him and him alone. He took the bars away, and because of his work, we can come and go freely. We're no longer under the bondage. When we put our faith not in anything that we do to get rid of that sin, because there's nothing we can do to get rid of it, but it's in Jesus Christ and him alone, his broken body and shed blood, that's what gets us to heaven. When we put our faith in that. For God so loved the world, but he hated the sin, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Father God, tonight as we reflect on the glorious picture of Jesus Christ from birth to resurrection in the life of Samson, we praise you for the richness of your word, for the theme of salvation, and for the gift that you give us in eternal life if we would only believe in the work of Jesus Christ, not our own efforts. In Christ's name.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.